There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You know, really a sloppy performance, to be honest with you. It's capable of happening, obviously, in the first preseason game, but not that we find comfort in that. We worked too hard to have the results we had tonight, so it's disappointing.
7:02, time to start talking about the Steelers preseason game. And it's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Doran, we got winners. We got losers. We got a game to break down. Do we start with the winners or the losers?
Oh, man, let's start with the winners.
Yeah. Let's start with the winners. Yeah. On the back of Pirates talk, we need some positivity.
Yeah, let's bring it up a little bit. Let's
How about the winners?
Let's lift it up.
The first guy, though, I kind of have a question about. Do you put Justin Fields in the winner or loser category?
Mm.
Bang, Rorschach test right from the drop here.
I put him in the winners category. I put him in the winners category because he got first team reps. And if things would have played out and Russell Wilson would have been healthy, he would have got reps with maybe the second unit, but now he got reps with the first-ish unit that I think is a good evaluation for the team, a good evaluation for himself, knowing that he didn't have the full playbook at hand, too. It was a generic, you know, generic plays were being called,
yeah,
things of that nature, and hit for him to see live action and be the number one guy running out of the tunnel, I think that he was a winner, even though that, you know, there's some bobbled snaps, things that ain't, whatever. I mean, he's not going to work with Herbig this year, I mean, if he is the starting quarterback, so... Yeah, I think he's a winner.
I think when he had time, and I did not think Fautanu was good, and we'll get to him later on, I thought he was fine. Put some balls on guys accurately, had a nice throw standing in the pocket down the field to the left sideline that was right on the money, and he showed off the arm strength, and he got it out quick. I thought he was fine. I'll put him in the loser category, however, because immediately, yeah, Russell Wilson's going to start the next game. That's right from the mouth of Mike Tomlin. Tomlin was pissed about the fumbled snaps, and he said he puts that on both the center and the quarterback, but that it thwarted drives and opportunities for them to get better. And that kind of stuff irks Mike Tomlin. I wanted to see Justin Fields come out and us go, oh, dang, Russell Wilson's going to start the second game, but, and I don't think we saw that. Now, it's a preseason game. Kenny Pickett threw a touchdown for Philadelphia. Kenny Pickett had a perfect passer rating last year. I don't want to read too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was so quick, yeah, it's going to be Russ Wilson game two. Because of the fumbled snaps, I'm going to say he's a loser.
I think it's funny, though, because, I mean, how many times has Justin Fields been under center in his NFL career? Like, I don't know, probably a handful of times. I mean, you don't really see quarterbacks go under center that much anymore. They did that on purpose to get him some reps under center. Like, he's going to be in the shotgun. He's Justin Fields.
I do think you're going to see a lot of under center from our guy, Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith, right. I think Russ can handle that, but I think that was on purpose to see how he could take snaps, how he could lean. What was I listening to? It was maybe Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Was it Dan Orlovsky?
I think it was. I think I saw the same clip.
Where it's like, okay, like, you know where the center, like, sometimes they place it certain places, and, you know, if you're going right, the center has to go right, like, your hands are going to slide to the right a little bit. I think that was on purpose, and obviously he failed that task, and so did Herbig, but it will look different next week, or this weekend, coming up.
Maybe I'm unfair, because for me, a winning performance from him would have been us going, whoa, And a losing performance would probably have been anything else, because I wanted him to announce himself as a true, legitimate threat to be the starting quarterback, and we just didn't see that. Again, game one. Again, a lot of time left. Two preseason games, and presumably he's going to get more work in this second game than he even got in this first game. How much with the ones? Eh, we'll see, but he's going to play more. So you leave it open, but he did not have that virtuoso, oh my God, performance that I was sort of hoping for from Justin Fields. You can weigh in on this talk too at 412-928-9370 on the text line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I thought Arthur Smith was a winner. I think when you're calling vanilla offense, it's tough to say that. But my God, we got play action back in our lives, Dorian.
Oh, yeah.
Oh! Matt Canada, no play action. Ben, for a large swath of his career, didn't love play action. For whatever reason.
I don't know. Right.
It's always been weird to me. I heard a scout one time. I had a conversation with a scout, in fact, who said he just didn't think Ben loved turning his back to the defense.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah. He just didn't want to, hey, play action, you turn around, all of a sudden, everyone's in a different spot. Oh, jeez. Yeah. You don't like, you can't move the way you used to.
Nope.
Fine, whatever. So Ben didn't like it. Canada didn't call it. It is a cheat code in football that everyone uses now. And if you believe in analytics, you don't even need to run the ball effectively for it to enhance your passing game.
No.
And we saw a ton of play action. We saw that pass I talked about with Justin Fields that came off of play action. We saw... And I thought Kyle Allen kind of grew into the game too, but whatever, that's not sexy. Kyle Allen hit Des Fitzpatrick on a long pass off of play action. They're going to run a ton of play action, and it's free. You're allowed to do it. It doesn't cost you anything. And even though we didn't see any crazy motions or shifts or up-tempo this or that, I came away going, all right, the Steelers have an offensive coordinator that is actually a professional, legitimate offensive coordinator.
Well, I mean, not to get too into the nitty-gritty of play action. Like, you say that, you know, you don't even need the run to set up play action, but they will have the run to set up play action, so that goes hand-in-hand, and that will be a big asset to their offense. But the first read of the at least the front seven, especially the linebackers and maybe even the safeties to an extent, is to go forward. Like, and especially the off-ball linebackers, like, you're going forward regardless because your job is to stop the run. So even if there is a fake and you know it's a fake, you have to step forward because that is your key. And that's just that split second that you get somebody off base that you can throw behind, that you can get somebody and beat them in a route. So that is definitely a benefit, and that is something that we haven't seen in a long time. And I think Russell Wilson is very good at doing that. I think that he's very comfortable at doing that. And that's what I'm anxious to see on Saturday as well, whenever he does get the start, is how comfortable he is faking the handoff and then flipping and turning around and finding the guys down the field, because I think that that's how he's made his money throughout his career.
Yes, and I think that's going to be the strength of the team offensively, with or without Brandon Ayuk, who we'll get into later on in the show. George Pickens, a big play guy. All you need, bang, half a second, get by the safeties, right? And I actually thought that the Steelers receiving corps, as we're talking about winners, I thought most dudes played okay. Played well, in fact. Now, Quez Watkins, we'll get into him in the losers segment, but George Pickens had two catches and was run after the catch on both. You had Van Jefferson make a nice play.
Yeah, that was inbounds, the one that he didn't challenge.
And then that, which people were mad about not challenging it.
Like, no, keep the game going.
Yeah. And then you had the drop in the back of the end zone by Calvin Austin III, which, listen, man.
That was with Kyle Allen, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was, Kyle Allen missed through that.
Yeah, he is wide open.
Wide open.
Wide open.
He overthrew.
Yeah, just put it on him.
Yeah.
And he's not a big target. So put it on his ass, right? But ball hits his hands, you still got to come down with it. I would put it on Kyle Allen as well. So I didn't love that from him, but I did think, you know, Van Jefferson looked a little bit better than Van Jefferson I thought was going to look. And those guys needed to step up, because you've got this hanging specter of Brandon Ayuk still being out there. And so you are playing for your livelihood. I thought we saw some nice things out of Scotty Miller, I thought we saw Des Fitzpatrick made a nice play. I don't know that he makes the team. But overall, I didn't walk out of the stadium. I didn't walk away from watching the game a second time, Doran, and think, oh boy, those receivers stink.
No. Those receivers could be really good, though, if they were pushed down one spot.
Absolutely.
Really good.
That's the takeaway.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Is if you've got Van Jefferson and he's your two, Reggie. But if you've got Van Jefferson as your three,
okay.
And we didn't even see Roman Wilson, and you hope to see him in game number two. And all of a sudden, a position right now that you look at and you go, yikes, you've got no depth. All you do is you add one Brandon Ayuk, and all of a sudden you've got depth. Or maybe a Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, my God.
I do want to get into that, however, briefly later on.
Okay.
I think you and I will be in agreement on that one.
Okay.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. My guy, Zach Frazier's a winner.
He is probably neck and neck of the number one winner. I think they're split.
Peyton Wilson,
yeah.
The other one?
Yeah.
Who got first team reps yesterday, as did Zach Frazier, because the Steelers did practice yesterday. So not only do we have a game that we're reacting to, based on the game, things change, things happen, and we've got that to react to. You had the two fumbled snaps between Herbig and Fields. Whose fault is it? Fields? Herbig? I don't know. Both? You were just talking about some of the idiosyncrasies and the nuance of it. I can't sit there. I don't think anybody who's not in the film rooms can sit there and go, oh, it's X's fault. It's not like it's Mason Cole snapping it off of the foot of Kenny Pickett or Marquise Pouncey snapping it 15 feet over Ben Roethlisberger's head. Like, okay. But the first snap of Zach Frazier, he mauls a dude off the ball, opens a massive hole, disengages, goes, finds another guy, and I'm thinking, it's all I ever saw from him in West Virginia. He could do that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have his ups, he's going to have his downs, he's going to have his bumps, there's going to be ebbs, there's going to be flows. But from a purely talent standpoint, he is much more talented than Herbig, and while Herbig does have some center experience, it's not like he's got enough center experience where right. I would go, oh, give Zach Frazier time to grow. No, the job should be his from now until he's no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Do you think he starts Saturday with Russ?
100% I think he starts with Russ.
Okay.
Because Mike Tomlin, not only does he have eyes like we do, and you go, okay, Zach Frazier performed well in this game, and he graded out highly too if you care about those things, but what thwarted Justin Fields from getting more opportunities in Mike Tomlin's mind, it's the stupid center exchange thing. So I would change both elements of that. I'm giving Zach Frazier and Russell Wilson the opportunity to begin a nice budgeting relationship together, and I'm doing it the second that they run onto the field. He's being introduced as the starter by our guy Larry Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a home game? I forget.
Yes.
Okay, very good. So it will be Larry Richard.
Yes.
I will say, from another winning standpoint, Doran, they announced the starters on offense, and Mike Tomlin cares about this. Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris both announced as starters.
Right.
And I thought they both looked good.
They looked real good.
They looked real good.
Najee looked quick. He looked healthy.
Yes.
His feet looked quick.
He looks faster, and quicker is probably the right word. Yep. He looks quicker than I've seen him in a Steelers uniform.
Yep.
It's early. He's healthy. He looks leaner.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he was out of shape before. He was not. He was bulky and strong. He looks like he's got like a little extra twitchiness.
Yeah.
Can I throw twitchiness
twitch.
Out there?
Yes. Yeah. Extra twitch.
I thought those guys were winners. I thought both of them looked good. And Jaylen Warren, when you get announced as a starter, just like the first round pick did, you can't look at that as an L. You just can't. So there's some of the winners. Did we miss anybody? Oh, yeah, Peyton Wilson. Let's get into him a little bit coming up next. We'll get into some of the losers from preseason game number one. And I think there's an obvious biggest loser. It's a tight podium, but I think the gold medal winning loser is quite obvious. So we'll get into that coming up next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Winners and losers from game number one, we continue to talk about here. We did a bunch of the winners in segment number one. We'll get to the losers here in a moment, but there's still one carryover winner. I just found this out, though, and I'm bummed out about it. I Googled closing ceremonies for the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be today.
No, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
And Tom Cruise jumped out of something?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I guess Tom Cruise went all Tom Cruise, and they had him jump out of, I don't even know what. Was it a helicopter? Was it a ceiling? I don't know. But Tom Cruise, I just see pictures of Tom Cruise flying through the air.
He does all of his stunts, right?
He does. That's Have you crazy. Seen any of that with, what are they on now? Mission Impossible 45?
Yeah.
He was motorcycling off of the edge of a mountain.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Did you see, like, the director's cut where they're, like, blessing themselves?
Yes. What a psycho.
He's landed, and they're like, yes!
Yeah, they cheer.
Yes. You know, would you film that last? I feel like I would.
Just in case?
Yeah. That way you can still put the movie out, and you would do that scene with a stunt guy. So I'm bummed out. I was looking forward to watching the closing ceremonies today, and I missed it.
Yep.
That sucks.
Yesterday.
Let's do one winner here before we get into some of the losers from yesterday's game, from Friday's game, a couple days ago. 2 days ago.
Two winners.
There's two winners left? All right, give me one. Don't give me the one we were just talking. Who's the
Beanie
other
Beanie Bishop.
I thought Beanie played well.
Yeah.
I do.
There's two winners.
But then
on the defensive side, yes.
And he was taking first-team snaps yesterday. They also bumped someone else to take some first-team snaps. Mm-hmm. But I thought he acquitted himself real well.
No doubt.
But then the guy that flashed, and you called this, was Peyton Wilson. And here's a text at 412-928-9370. Wilson missed a lot of tackles, beating the passing game too. He's a rookie. It's to be expected, but I can't put him as a winner. I don't know, man. He led the team in tackles with seven. He had a TFL. You know, it reminded me of Ryan Shazier a little bit. And it reminded me of Troy a little bit, that they're so fast, so disruptive, so instinctual that, and I'm not saying he's going to be those guys, mm-hmm. just make sure it's in proper context, that you are going to miss tackles. You play like your hair's on fire, but you're the football guy. Tell me why he was a winner.
Oh, because he was just, he was around the ball. He's always around the ball. He's going to miss tackles, like you said, but being around the ball and playing at that speed, like the NFL speed, it's different in OTAs from college,
sure.
Way different. Then it gets even faster in training camp. Then it gets faster in preseason. Then it gets extremely fast in regular season. But the fact that he was around the ball all the time and he was making plays, he's definitely a winner. Like, that's a guy that you can win with. That's a guy that you can see the Steelers creating certain packages for. He is fast. He can cover. He will get beat. It's the NFL. He's going to get beat. He's going to miss tackles. But he had seven, and one was a TFL. That's pretty dang good. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
And your first time putting on an NFL helmet in a stadium with live bullets.
Look at what the Ravens became when they added Roquan Smith. And I'm not saying Peyton Wilson is Roquan Smith, though we did have a scout come on and talk to us after the draft that said that the comp would be Roquan Smith.
Yes.
And he could have been a first-round pick, and we know about the injury history, and that's why he was not a higher pick than he wound up being. The Ravens' defense, prior to the Roquan Smith acquisition that season, was just so-so. And then you added him next to Patrick Queen, and we saw what it became. I don't know when, but at some point this year, Peyton Wilson's going to be a starter.
Yep.
And for the next 4 years, if you can have those two guys next to each other, that can be transformative for the defense.
No doubt.
You can't have a fast defense if you don't have fast linebackers. And they do now.
Two of them. Yes.
And Peyton Wilson can learn next to that guy. And they're deep. I mean, we'll see what happens with Cole Holcomb. But Landon Roberts, you know, if anybody can hold off Peyton Wilson for a little while, it is a Landon Roberts. I'm not throwing that baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine them for the next 4 years if Peyton Wilson becomes what we think Peyton Wilson can, if he reaches his ceiling. Let's go.
I honestly, like, you know, I create a rover position for him this year. Like, I keep Landon on the field, and I just change up my defense, and I just approach him like a rover back. You know what I mean? A rover back is a safety hybrid linebacker, and just let him be a guy that just roams around. He could blitz, he could cover, like, he could run with tight ends. He could run with slot receivers to an extent. I mean, guy ran a 4.4 40, and that translates, too. If you watch the game, him run and kind of, you know, chase down certain plays. Like, I just create a whole position for him, like, at this point, and say, like, all right, we're going to run this package. It's going to be a sub package for certain games, and just have him and all three of those guys in there.
Yeah.
Honestly.
When you are that disruptive this early, and you've been turning heads in camp, and he has been, according to all reports, it's tough to keep that kind of playmaker off the field.
Right.
Like, you could foresee him creating a ton of havoc, forcing a bunch of turnovers, both in pass coverage and just the way he flies to the football. He's what you hope Devin Bush could have been, and he comes in a totally different body type.
Yes.
Like, he looks the part of an NFL linebacker. He can run like Devin Bush was able to run, but he's got all the other things that Devin Bush simply did not have.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now it's time for the loser, the big one. And we'll get to more of them coming up after our Going Low Golf Report with Jeff Hathorn. But this injury report is brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Troy Faltano, man, he's going to be out, according to Jerry Dulac, for the next 2 weeks. They're hoping to get him back quicker than that, but I think that's reasonable. He is not going to start game one. There is a 0% chance. The injury plus the performance. Look, he's going up against Danielle Hunter. He gives up a sack. Hunter had 16 and a half sacks last year for Minnesota. That's a big boy. That's a big-time pass rusher.
Yep.
And then the second sack he gave up was against another really good player, whose name, of course,
Anderson?
Is now escaping me when I need it.
Was it Anderson?
It was, pardon me, Jerry Hughes.
Oh, Jerry, okay.
Who has 70 sacks in his career.
Yeah.
So you got two dogs, and you give up two sacks. It's not the end of the world. You're a young player. You're a work in progress. But you couple the poor performance with now you ain't practicing for the next 2 weeks?
Yes. It's going to be Broderick at right, Dan Moore at left.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
And so I have a problem with that, too, because that's what they came out with yesterday. Dan Moore Jr. is, by just about every measure, one of the worst left tackles in the NFL. Just play Broderick at left and Dan Moore Jr. at right until Troy Faltano is healthy and shows his worth. Like, because when Faltano comes back, you want him at right tackle. This idea that now you're going to go into the season with Broderick at right and Dan Moore at left because you had success with it last year. I get that you had success with it last year. It's not last year anymore. It's this year. So put Broderick at left, damn it. And put Dan Moore Jr. at right as the placeholder. Because Omar Khan has said they have always had designs on Broderick being their left. So when Faltano is back and healthy and ready to go, now you're going to have to screw around with multiple positions?
Maybe they put Faltano at left.
But then that would go against what Omar said.
Well, I mean, Faltano had 40 starts at left tackle in college. That's probably his natural position. That might be why he got beat on Friday.
That's a good theory.
Give him a chance, you know, to actually beat somebody out at a position that he's comfortable with.
Yeah, 35-plus games is the best left tackle in the country.
If he's playing really good at right, and Dan Moore Jr. is not playing good at left, and Faltano has reps and has a body of work of being a left tackle, I would just slide him over, just at left for this year.
There's probably a much larger conversation to be had about all of this. Like, how can Faltano even play his way in now?
No, he can't. Like, unless for his injury.
Right. Uh-huh. Even into the season. Because uh-huh. The reps you saw in stadium bad, and then he's going to be hurt, and it's going to be, what, the week before the season or thereabouts?
You're already rolling.
You're
three game plans deep.
Yes. Yes.
At that point.
You are so far behind the eight ball. You hate hyperbole? Disastrous turn of events for him in the way that he played and then getting hurt. Disastrous for his 2024 season. Can't write him off. He's going to be your swing guy, but disastrous. And that's the injury report. Yay! Brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. The Going Loaf Golf Rewind is next, and we'll talk about a couple of other Steelers that underwhelmed in preseason game number one. All right, we'll get into some more winners and losers from Steelers preseason game number one in a moment. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette Steelers Insider going to join us at 8 o'clock. But right now, baby, it's time for the Going Low Golf Rewind, brought to you by Lynch Golf Sales at Pine Creek. If you're not being fit outdoors, you're not being fit. And joining us is Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. Hey, a first-time winner on the PGA Tour, Aaron Rye, shoots a 64 in the final round to beat Max Grazerman to win at the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro. Rye was in one bunker the entire tournament. Just one. Now, his caddy said after the round, he doesn't drink, so I'll do a bit of drinking for him. Now, that's a partnership right there. Indiana PA native Brendan Todd finished 12th at 11 under. Stephen Ames birdied four of the last seven holes, including 18, to win the Champions Tour event at 11 under, a shot better than Ernie Els. Ames, who is 60, averaged 314 yards per drive. New Zealand's Lydia Ko won gold at the Olympics. She's just 27, has already qualified for the LPGA Hall of Fame. In 2016, she won silver at the Olympics at age 19, and in 2021 finished with bronze. And the best golf news of the weekend, 165-yard par 3 15th at Pheasant Ridge. It's an elevated green over water. Jim Colony got his second hole-in-one.
Hey, wow. Jimbo!
Jimbo coming through. I was at the Steeler game, second half. It's kind of drawing on, and I get this text from Colony with a little video of him picking that ball out of the hole.
So wait a second, Jeff. Does that mean you drink for him in celebration, or do you think Colony might have done a little of that himself?
I don't think I could catch up to that.
Thanks, buddy. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn with the Going Low Golf Rewind. Shall we get into some winners or losers?
Yes.
There's one winner I wanted to get to that I forgot. DeMarvin Leal.
Mm-hmm.
Gets a sack, playing a little outside backer, and they feel like he can play at the end of their line. They feel like they could kick him inside if they need to. They feel like he can rush the passer on the outside. They feel like he can drop into coverage, which is saying something for a guy that's, what, listed at 275?
Yeah.
I think we looked at it the other day. And that now seems like a necessity. We thought something smelled weird, man. We did. You were like, this is weird. Why is DeMarvin Leal playing outside backer? And then Marcus Golden, right before the nah, I'm out. Like, I'm out.
Signed one day, practices the next day. Actually does really well in practice from what I heard. Was all over the place. It's like, you know, this ain't for me anymore. I'm done. Like, what?
He can clearly still do it. Again, by all accounts, for the people who were like, oh, yeah, Marcus Golden picked up right where he left off. I think you look at the calendar and you just think about the specter at that age, and he's made $23 million in his career, and I think you go through a practice and it's 85 degrees and you got dudes punching you in the face, and you know you got a joint practice coming up, and you're just like, you know what? I got 20 weeks of this ahead, maybe more, in Pittsburgh. It's going to be cold. Like, you know what? Nah.
Man, I don't know, man. He's not going to play, like, he's not going to play special teams. You're going to get how many snaps a game to make? I mean, what is he probably making league minimum? That's over, what, $1 million? You catch another $1 million and add another credited year to your belt? I don't know. I'd stick it out.
You know what you could do is
probably get some escalators, too, if he gets, like, five sacks. He gets, like, 500K. Like, I don't know. You're leaving a lot on the table.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, you have to meet your own, though.
I guess it just, you would figure you just don't sign with the Steelers.
Right. Unless something, you know, obviously personal. I mean, we don't know that.
You're right. You never know. Maybe he tweaked something. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But very strange.
Very.
I saw breaking news. Oh, Brandon Ayuk. Here we go. No, Marcus Golden retired. So DeMarvin Leal, a winner, I thought. And Keanu Benton flashed too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I have a buddy who bought a Keanu Benton jersey. He likes to get like a weird jersey. I don't even know if that's going to be weird. I think 2 years from now, we're going to be talking about him the way we were talking about Javon Hargrave.
Yep.
And you hope that they don't make the same mistake that they did. Although back at the time, I guess it was fairly understandable because Tua was a guy.
Correct.
And that was weird. Speaking of weird retirements, although he did have personal issues going on, I hope he's okay. What a nice man he was in his Stephon Tuitt. I loved Stephon to it. We would talk about college football. We would sit there like between the pit facility and the Steelers facility.
Where did he go, Notre Dame?
He went to Notre Dame. Yeah. And one day I'm wearing my West Virginia hat, and we just started talking college ball. I also did that with Mason Rudolph. And all those guys are gone.
Yeah.
I'd say I got to find a new guy, but I don't go down there. This reminiscing about former Steelers that I used to talk college ball with on The Fan is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. One more big, big, big loser from Friday night's game we'll talk about coming up next, and then decidedly not a big loser. Brian Bacco from the Post-Gazette going to be joining us at 8 o'clock to talk all things Steelers. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In about 10 minutes, Brian Bacco from the Post-Gazette going to join us to talk about Steelers preseason game number one and the subsequent practice yesterday. How does he feel like Justin Fields performed? Because Doran and I were a little bit split on that, so maybe he can settle a tie there. But we do have one guy who I think you can categorize as a loser that we haven't yet talked about, and look, if he were a higher-profile player, I think you could probably have made him the biggest loser. Maybe social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. You see what I did there, Nicholas Harry-Callis? You can scratch that one off. That's Quez Watkins. He misjudges two punts, the second of which, he gets into a dead run like he's Willie Mace. Like, this thing's going over his head. Right. Oh, shoot! Like, you can just think about his inner monologue. Oh, crap, oh, crap, oh, crap. Oh, dang,
man. Oh, man.
And he fumbles the thing. Now, look it, man. Brandon Ayuk, Juju Smith-Schuster, just all kinds of rumors abound. You know Calvin Austin III's got the pole position, as it would relate, you would think, to the punt return job. But you're just trying to do something if you're Quez Watkins to separate yourself. And that thing could be special teams and no good.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's interesting that he was out there in the first place. Well, I mean, was the Calvin Austin, like, Quez Watkins started the game as a punt returner, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Calvin Austin had about 29 punt returns last year. He'll be the number one punt returner. So why even put Quez Watkins out there if you got Calvin Austin that is going to be your number one punt returner? But
yeah, that is a little odd.
It is very odd.
Yeah. Yeah, because if he's going to be your guy, Calvin Austin, and your other ones are getting reps doing what they're going to do, why would Calvin Austin not get it? Unless you really feel like Quez Watkins could be that guy.
Unless you...
Well, you don't anymore.
Well, now, yeah, not now. Unless you feel like Calvin Austin is going to be like 80%, 85% of the offense. Like he's going to get 85% like more offensive reps, and you don't want him back there because you need him to be a receiver.
Yeah.
You don't want him to get him hurt.
And he's obviously not AB, where AB was AB,
yeah,
both in punt returning and kick returning, but there came a point where you just didn't want to put AB back there because he meant so much to your offense. Obviously, Calvin Austin III is not this Steelers version of AB, but if he is your three-wide receiver, maybe you don't want him out there.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's preseason. We read into these things.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do know is Quez Watkins, no good.
Yeah, he did good yesterday from what I heard.
I heard the same, and good. You want to have that bounce back. But Mike Tomlin, right or wrong, the reality is he puts a lot of value into what happens in the stadium. He does. And if you are going to be in a position that is a high beta position where disaster is one hit away, which is punt return, you got to be able to do it in the preseason if you're even going to get a sniff of that in the regular season. So Quez Watkins' stock, if it was ever high, is down now. All right, let's talk to Brian Bacco about some of these things. He, of course, from the Post-Gazette, coming up next. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 80, low 57, fall. Right around the corner. You can send it to break, Callis.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.